The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Are you vaccinated, and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is in the NFL's COVID-19 protocol, will miss Sunday's game.
It was misleading when he said, yeah, I'm immunized.
I'm not going to comment on it.
My mind immediately went to January. Everybody is depending on Aaron to be available.
I think our guys will rally around Jordan. We've got a lot of confidence in him.
Let's see where this goes from here on out with Aaron Rodgers.
The questions continue to swirl around Aaron Rodgers testing positive for COVID-19, being ruled out for Sunday's game against the Chiefs, as we welcome you to NFL Live. More on Rodgers in moments with Matt LaFleur speaking again to the media today. You see Keyshawn Johnson there, Dan Orlovsky is here, Marcus Spears, oh wait, he's right there, Adam Schefter with you for the hour two. We'll get to the latest on OBJ as well. He was excused from practice a second day in a row, but we begin with Aaron Rodgers, who, as you heard there, said he was immunized back in August, did not say he was vaccinated. Under protocol, Rodgers must remain in quarantine for 10 days now that he has tested positive. Matt LaFleur addressed the media again today about the situation.
Earlier you said you're 100% confident in following protocols inside the building. Can you explain why Aaron Rodgers would be allowed to be unmasked for those media availabilities?
That's not what I said. I said within our football space, meeting rooms, walk through everything we do in that area. I don't pay attention to the media rules.
Adam, you heard what Coach LaFleur had to say there. What can you tell us about this ongoing situation with Rodgers?
There is an ongoing debate around the league about what did and didn't happen and whether rules were or weren't followed. And that will be up to the NFL to interpret. But the NFL said yesterday, Laura, that it's looking into the particular situation involving the Green Bay Packers. And we have seen COVID penalties be handed down to the New Orleans Saints, Las Vegas Raiders, Tennessee Titans, Denver Broncos, amongst others. We've seen fines ranging from $350,000 to $500,000. We've seen the Saints and Ravens lose late round draft picks. And we don't know what the league will do here, whether or not it will take action. But clearly, there are an awful lot of questions being asked around the league. And there are other teams that are really bothered by this particular situation, in their words, because of all these rules that everybody were following. And they feel like in this particular case, there's a question as to whether the rules were not followed.
Yeah, the NFL looking into it, as Adam said there. More from Adam coming as there's a ton of news around the NFL. But Marcus, you just heard the latest from Schefty. You've had 24 hours to think about the situation. What do you make of it all now?
Yeah, I make of it as pissed off swaggle, because I had a chance to think about this when we were getting it yesterday. The details and all of that, we were trying to get sorted out in meetings and figure out what happened. The bottom line is Aaron Rodgers knew what he was doing. He thought he was being slick. He thought he didn't think COVID would hit him and this would be exposed. That's what this boils down to. Dan talked about the availability for your teammates and all of that. He knew that coming into the season. He knew if he wasn't vaccinated, that he couldn't be available if he came down with COVID-19. But it's the slick talk. And the thing that pissed me off more than anything is we all went crazy when Aaron Rodgers did that opening interview for the season and airing out dirty laundry. And now we sit here today with him making misleading statements and trying to fool people. So I point to that. And the reason why I point to that is because sometimes when the slick talk is happening, we need to pay attention to the meaning of it as opposed to what's being said. So bottom line is this. Aaron Rodgers misled the media that asked him the question. He compromised and jeopardized his team, being the most important player for his team. He's going to miss a game. He's going to have to come back the day before a game and try to get ready to play that game. And he's not vaccinated, so he may have to deal with this issue again. All of the misleading led to us knowing what the situation is in Green Bay.
Is this all on Aaron Rodgers, though? That really is the answer that I want. Is it all on Aaron Rodgers? Because if you go back to the summertime and you think about what the NFL said. They said, whatever you got going on right now and you want us to sign off on it, we're not signing off on it because that's not part of our protocol. We don't see that as being vaccinated, okay? Then you say, well, the NFL knew that. The Green Bay Packers certainly knew that because the NFL communicated with them. And then Aaron Rodgers knew that because he's part of the Green Bay Packers. So you got all three as a corporate, as far as I'm concerned, involved in this situation. So when you look at it, it's completely reckless. Mm-hmm. It just really is. And the reason that I become a little heated and animated about it is because you got to think about everything else. You got to think about when you were covering college football, when all of a sudden a little bit of it was lifted and we saw people going crazy. What did we say? They're running around with no mask on. They're not vaccinated. Are they out of their mind? This is reckless behavior. It's a super spread. We was going out of our mind about this. And now here we are with Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur says in the building, he's doing everything in the building. What about outside the building? What about walking up to Kyler Murray at the end of that game and talking to Kyler Murray, whispering into his ear, saying something to him? Right there, you putting him in a position to be infected now. I mean, it's pretty wild and crazy to me, and it's reckless.
We'll continue to gather information on it. Dan, let's move it forward, though, because there is some good news for Green Bay. Devontae Adams back at practice after missing 10 days on the COVID list. Jordan Love should be thrilled, right, about having him back. You've watched a bunch of Love's preseason tape, and, of course, you're familiar with what you saw from him a while ago in college. What stands out?
Well, his feet and the development of it. And I think if you want to get a grasp of how well he'll play Sunday night, you'll know in the first quarter because in the small sample size that we have, the rhythm of his feet definitely got better. And that's a foundational part of this offense. So 3rd and 9, you get cover 2 and you want to take your tight end down the middle of the field. Now, this is going to be a 3-step from the gun, but it's got to be rhythmic. Catch the ball, peek the backside safety. You got to go 1, 2, 3, elongate that hitch, and then get that ball up and over. We didn't see that in college. That's really good from this preseason. Now, their play-action game, I think they need to do more of it. Play action to the right, you're trying to get a wrap in from the top. In this offense, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Back foot goes into ground, ball has to come out to that wrap in. That is development from the kid that we saw at Utah State. Now, this is also an offense that's built on hitches. Play action to the right again, wrap in, and then you got to shake at the bottom. Key, you know this. Reverse out at 6, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, here comes that first hitch. If the wrap in is not there, you got to reset and second hitch and get that shake route up over the top. Not 3 hitches. He does that on 2. That is good development. And so I would say for Packers fans, early on, just watch his feet. And if his feet look like they're tied to the rhythm of the pass game and the hitches and he's listening to his feet with where to go to the football and when, then you feel good how that game is going to go. And I saw development from the kid that we saw in college to the young man that we saw in the preseason this year.
Yeah, it probably also helps. He's going against the Chiefs defense. They have allowed the most yards per play in the NFL this season.
Yeah, it's a good matchup to have.
That one works pretty well. All right, we'll keep you updated on this, but to another developing story. Odell Beckham Jr. excused from practice a second straight day as the Browns and OBJ's agent discuss next steps for the wide receiver. This is all just about 48 hours after Beckham's father posted in social media about the frustrations with Baker Mayfield. A Browns players spoke to the media. Today we begin with John Johnson, hear what he had to say.
You know, you want to see your guys have success. You want to see your guys do as well as they can. And when that doesn't happen, you know, you obviously feel a certain type of way. But I don't think it's dividing the team any type of way. I just feel like we're just a hardworking bunch of guys. And like I said before, if there's any way that he can get back in the building, I would be tremendously happy. I feel like the majority of this locker room would love to have him in this building.
Kind of interesting from the player side of things, Adam, but where are we with all of this and Odell Beckham Jr.?
Well, Laura, it's the second straight day that Odell Beckham Jr. is not at the Cleveland Browns complex. And right now, it's hard to imagine that he will be able to play on Sunday in a big AFC North game against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think it's fair to wonder if Odell Beckham Jr.'s time with the Cleveland Browns is over. That's the question right now that a lot of people are asking. And again, this looks like a broken relationship with Odell Beckham Jr.'s father posting the video that he did on the trade deadline day with the Browns, having trade conversations with other teams about Odell Beckham Jr. that couldn't get done. Both sides seem interested in moving on from the other. Now there's an excused absence. Odell Beckham Jr. has been sent home. He's been kept away a couple of days. Again, not expected to play Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the question is, will he play again at all for the Cleveland Browns? And I think when you talk to people around the league, they believe the answer to that question is no. And I believe we have a certain member on this set who's been through a similar situation in 2004 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they put him on ice for the season. He never played another down for that team. And the season after, he was traded for the Dallas Cowboys. But I'll let my sources on the set verify that.
Key, we'd be talking about you. Go ahead.
Oh, well, yes, I was moved on after that. Here's what I would say, since Adam put me on the spot. Very similar situation to what OBJ is going through. The difference is I didn't have an issue, as I said yesterday, with my quarterback. I had an issue with the head coach in John Gruden. Clearly, those issues kind of, you know, you figured out later on. Hmm. In the end, they made a decision not to cut me, not to trade me because of salary cap implications. They allowed the season to go down and finish, and then they traded me essentially to the Dallas Cowboys to reunite me with Bill Parcells. Because in the end, Dan, what I wanted is, hey, give me an opportunity to go play for a winning football team right now. They said, no, we're not going to do that.
Can I ask you a real quick question? Yes. What was your team's record like when this all went down for you guys?
We were 500 or slightly below 500.
Similar to what Cleveland.
We were in the mix. Yeah, right, we were very similar to Cleveland. And I wanted to go to a contender, and they said, no, we're not sending you to contender. On top of that, we have salary cap implications. Right. I said, cool, pay me my damn money. I'll get out of here, go sit at home, and then I'll resume my career next year. And that's what happened.
Right.
The rest has been history, Laura.
It is well-documented history. And we'll carry on about that particular situation with what OBJ's options may be with Dan in a second. But Marcus, what will the decision for the Browns tell you about their commitment to Baker Mayfield here, even though this isn't a decision about OBJ?
Everything you need to know, because obviously the situation is toxic now. And you know that you have a disgruntled wide receiver that's going to command a lot of attention. You know your quarterback based on his pressure and the answers he had, the questions he had to answer, is that he feels a certain type of way and slighted or disappointed, however you deem it. The bottom line is, though, and this is the part that I want everybody to get, the fact that they are excusing OBJ from practice and from being a part of the team, he's no longer a part of the team. Like, we could talk about a trade or whatever may come out of this, but the fact that his agent is having conversations while they're fighting to make the playoffs tells me all I need to know. The relationship is broken. It's not going to work, and it's going to imply if they either get rid of Odell Beckham Jr. or they bring him along and say, hey, man, let's see if this thing can work, it's going to tell us a lot about Baker Mayfield, because your franchise quarterback, based on all of the stuff that I hear, is supposed to feel safe and secure.
Nah. The risk of keeping him around versus the risk of cutting him and him going to a different team is greater. Hmm. Okay? You need to cut Odell Beckham. This is how it happens. You reduce his salary, or you restructure his salary. You owe him $8 million to Cleveland Browns for the rest of this year. You negotiate with him to pay him $4 million. This is a little bit of a conversation that I had with Field Yates. You pay him $4 million to go away, and you cut him. Now, another team that has the chance to pick him up, because it's going to be subject to the waiver wire, then owes him $4 million. And so, yeah, the concern is who he goes to, right? Now, this would be the teams that waiver wire priority that I think would be interested in Odell. The Indianapolis Colts, and I don't know how high they would be. Broncos, no. New England, that would be somebody that the Cleveland Browns would have to ask themselves, is it worth us getting just completely out of the situation more than him going to New England? Because if I was the Patriots, I'd pick him up. Mm. The Chiefs, I'd pick him up. The Chargers, I would pick him up. The Steelers, I would entertain it as well. So, you know, the reality is this. There are going to be teams waiver wire in your conference that are going to be interested in getting Odell Beckham for $4 million. I just think, as a Cleveland Brown person, that it's worth it's greater for him to go somewhere else than risk him continuing to pee in even remote fashion attached to your locker room.
All right, so you've been through this, Key. Yeah. What advice, considering Dan's case that he's making, would you give OBJ?
Sit tight, man. They got to pay you your money. You have not been conduct detrimental to the team, so they can't suspend you. They got to pay you. Wait till the end of the year. Come into the offseason. Be a free agent, because they're going to release you for salary cap ramifications.
But don't you want out? Like, if you want out, yeah, you got to restructure.
But I
want
to go to a team. I want to go to a team that makes sense.
And that's where his agents come into play. They got to have the conversations.
You know that he's thinking, how do I get to a contender, whether it's this year or next season? All right, this next segment is going to make Swagoo real happy. Dak Prescott back on the practice field. We got a live report from the Star on Dak's injury status ahead of Sunday's game with the Broncos. Plus, one of our analysts says the Ravens' run game needs to get back on track this week, and why a little production from someone not named Lamar Jackson can lead to a victory. NFL Live is brought to you by Marvel Studios Eternals in theaters Friday.
I cannot wait to watch this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Pregame HQ is brought to you by Domino's. Order something for everyone with Domino's Mix and Match menu. Order online and track your order. Time to check in on our Domino's pregame headquarters in front of tonight's Jets-Colts matchup. Adam Schefter with us here. And Adam, Zach Wilson will miss his second straight game tonight. What is the timeline for Wilson to return to the field?
Well, that might depend on how Mike Wilson plays tonight in his second NFL start, Laura. And his first NFL start, the jersey and game ball that he was given went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame because no quarterback making his first NFL start ever completed 37 passes in a game, and he became only the second quarterback in NFL history to throw for over 400 yards in his debut, joining Cam Newton. So Zach Wilson right now is out with that knee injury, but the Jets want to get another look at Mike White tonight with the way that he played last week at home in an upset victory against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Jets are very pleased with Mike White. They think he has a real chance in this league to be a quarterback. And you can only imagine what New York is going to be like if Mike White plays anything like he did last week tonight against the Indianapolis Colts. And his backup tonight, by the way, will be Josh Johnson, who was just elevated off the practice squad, which means that Joe Flacco, who they traded for from Philadelphia, will not be the backup. It'll be Mike White starting. Josh Johnson is the backup.
Adam, you're like little tiny stir of the pot there with the Mike White stuff. I like it. Let's carry on the Colts side of things. Carson Wentz and Michael Pittman Jr. have built an immediate connection this season. In fact, Wentz has posted a 91.7 QBR when targeting Pittman. That's the fourth highest mark of any QB wide receiver combo in the NFL, trailing only Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. So, yeah, you think about some of the duos out there, that's a really great company to be in. Let's get some quick reads on tonight's game. Key, why has that Wentz-Pittman connection worked so well?
I think it's bloodlines for Michael Pittman Jr. I played with his dad in Tampa Bay, running back Michael Pittman Sr. But when you look at his body and the type of work that he was able to put in at USC, and since being drafted by the Indianapolis Colts, he has been a red zone nightmare for defensive players. It is amazing to see his transformation from college to the NFL, and Wentz depends on him and loves him to death.
All right, so Dan, what does your guy Wentz need to do tonight?
I want to see the most boring game possible from Carson Wentz. Not a single stupid decision when the ball is in your hands with panic. Understand that you can't allow the Tennessee Titans to beat you twice. Nothing you do tonight will change what happened in the last 2 minutes of last week's game, primetime game, when your energy is going to be high and you're going to be amped up. Last time we saw it was Sunday Night Football. Not a great start. Show maturity to your football team tonight in how you quarterback and manage this game.
Marcus, you just heard Adam's report about how much the Jets like quarterback Mike White. What do you expect from him tonight?
Yeah, I expect Dan to coach him up like he just did Carson. Listen, this is the second outing, and I know everybody get excited about the backup. Y'all know I say the backups are hard to defend, but I expect this Indianapolis Colts defense to make plays. Look, Mike White threw two interceptions. It was a game plan where he was getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And I'm sorry to rain on the Jets parade and any quarterback controversy that may be festering. I expect DeForest Buckner and those guys to absolutely get after him and for him to make some mistakes and look like a backup.
I'm going to coach you up not to drink when you're not on camera and burp so we don't hear it, okay?
Yeah, we did hear some mumbling and grumbling there.
The hell?
Hey, those mics are hot. Watch out. Get those grumbles.
No, he didn't, man. Yeah. He's sitting there burping in my ear. I'm trying to read at this dude.
I'm just glad we cleared it up so there's no mysteries about where the sound came from.
It's a lineman, man.
Let's get some game picks. Oh, look at us. Wow. I think it looks like
Marcus, yo.
Is my head on a man body or a woman body? It looks a little weird. I got like a really thick neck. Anyway, Key, you look good.
She's been pressing weight.
We're getting swole. We're all in the Colts. That's not a shocker. I want to point out, though, you'll see Keyshawn's score materialize on the screen there. Key, how are we getting to 12 points for the Jets?
I figured they miss a field goal. PAT, they go for two. They miss that. Because it's the Jets.
You're not just going to take the easy way out.
Jets score ever. You got experience with that, Key, so we'll let you get away with it. Hey, no more burping on the show. All right, coming up next on NFL Live. Matthew Stafford and the Rams look to improve to 8-1 on the season on Sunday. Y'all are killing me. Dan's going to go to the touchscreen. Show us what to watch for. I can't with you guys. What a...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Our Week 9 Monday Night Football matchup has Justin Fields and the Bears in Pittsburgh take on Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. They've won three straight. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. Let's get to the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. He missed Week 8 due to the calf injury. The Cowboys still got the win, of course. Up next for the boys, the Broncos this week. So let's get the very latest on Dak's status. Ed Werder is at the Star today, where Dak Prescott just recently addressed the media. Ed, what did the Cowboys QB have to say about his availability this week against those Broncos?
Yeah, Laura, Dak Prescott said here a short time ago that he's pretty close to 100%. And unlike last week, he took all of the reps with the starters in the team portion of practice the last 2 days. In fact, on his first snap yesterday, Prescott said he left the pocket. And when the play was finished, he thought he probably shouldn't have taken that risk on his very first team rep in 2 weeks. But he said that's why he didn't play last week. He would have been thinking about the possibility of re-injury during the game, whereas now he's able to entirely be focused on working on the game plan and preparing to do whatever it takes to win the game on Sunday. Both Mike McCarthy and Prescott made it clear today that barring an unforeseen setback, the Cowboys will have their starting quarterback in the lineup Sunday at home against the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Obviously, I had 2 weeks to do a lot of rehab and recover, get everything that I needed to, the different modalities, and I feel good. Had two great days of practice and looking forward to Sunday.
Safe to say you're a play.
Safe to say.
Well, the Cowboys expect to have an unlimited game plan for Prescott, which would include using his mobility to extend plays and make throws outside the pocket, where he has the highest completion percentage in the league on such throws. And McCarthy said that's important because the offense, Laura, has been designed specifically for Prescott to have those hard-to-defend opportunities. And Prescott said, when I asked him about his expectations for his first game back, he said, I expect to be better than New England. That's a pretty high standard since he threw for more yards against Bill Belichick's team than any opponent in 21 years.
Yeah, Ed, Dak Prescott has been absolutely clinical this season. Not sure how it gets much better, but listen, I don't doubt his expectations one bit. Thanks for joining us here. And I think for Marcus Spears, that whole thing was just probably music to your ears, Marcus. Assuming Dak does play Sunday, what conversations do you want Dak and the coaching staff to have between now and then?
Yeah, EW just killed my opinion about this. I'm talking about Dak is going to be able to do everything. But listen, I would still have the conversation, L Boogie, and tell Dak, listen, man, when it's not there, throw that thing in the third row of the stands. Don't even worry about it. Unless you see a clear 5 yards, you can get to pick up a first down. Let's not take any chances with scrambling in harsh situations. Let's use our legs and our feet to maneuver around the pocket and get rid of the ball. Now, I'm saying all of this, and it ain't no way in hell Dak gonna do that, because Dak is a gamer, and he's gonna go out and do what he needs to do in order to try to win the game. These calf injuries are very, 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 very urgent, though, and they can be a slippery slope. Because the first twinge, you start to think about it. I want him to get rid of the football and protect himself. It don't seem like that's going to work, though.
Yeah, listen, yeah, it doesn't seem like he wants to do it. You mentioned calf injuries. Adam actually talked about this on Sunday. How many players have had calf injuries already this season? So got to be careful with that. Let's get back to our top story of the day. Aaron Rodgers testing positive for COVID and is out for Sunday's game against the Chiefs. According to NFL protocol, that means he's got to quarantine for 10 days because the NFL considers him unvaccinated. Let's bring Adam Schefter back in here. Adam, tons of news. Take us through the top stories of the day. Let's begin in Green Bay.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers is out. The earliest he can rejoin the team, Laura, is Saturday, November 13th, one day before the Packers are scheduled to play the Seattle Seahawks. And yesterday, the NFL said it will look into the Aaron Rodgers situation and times he has been unmasked as an unvaccinated player. That investigation will go on. There have been penalties doled out to teams like the Raiders and Saints, who have been fined $500,000 and lost a draft pick. We'll see what the league determines with the Green Bay Packers here going forward. As for Kyler Murray, the Cardinals quarterback, he was a non-participant in practice today, was spotted in a walking boot this week. Now, he says that he should be good to go on Sunday. I'm told the decision will not be made until Sunday itself, and the Cardinals are uncertain about whether Kyler Murray will be able to start against San Francisco. If he can't, then Colt McCoy would be the Cardinals' starting quarterback. And for a second straight day, Odell Beckham Jr. was excused from being at the Browns training complex. It looks like he will not play on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, and there are major questions about whether he will ever play again for the Cleveland Browns, with him going Keyshawn Johnson on the Cleveland Browns right now and basically not showing up at work right now. And one other quarterback note, Laura, we should say the Saints quarterback Taysom Hill, who's missed the last few weeks with a concussion, was back at practice today, listed as a full participant. Yesterday he was limited. Today he was full. So it looks like Taysom Hill is on track to be available to play on Sunday, and we'll see in what role the Saints decide to use him.
Yeah, lots of debate about that. Do we see Trevor Siemian once again under center, or do you end up using Taysom Hill as your starter? All right, let's get to this Sunday night, a huge game, potentially the game of the week, the 7-1 Rams hosting the 6-2 Titans. And Tennessee's defense will look to slow down Matthew Stafford and this Rams offense. That's a lot easier said than done. Look at this, how good Stafford has been this season in scatter chart form. Let me explain it. The further to the right a quarterback is, the better he is against zone coverage, right? And then the higher he is on the chart, the better he is against man coverage. Look at Matthew Stafford all the way up in that top right box. That's because he's been ranking top two against both coverages, both man and zone defenses. No other quarterback ranks in the top seven against both. And so, Dan and Key, how do you even defend this guy? There's not a weakness.
Yeah, well, the reality is he's also got one of the best receivers in football in Cooper Kupp. Sean McVay does a great job in their empty package of, when they anticipate man coverage, they put Cooper Kupp on the inside. When they anticipate zone coverage, they put him on the outside. So this is Cooper Kupp in the number three position right here. And you are going to get that man defense from the Houston Texans. Now, this is called one hole, where that defender, this linebacker, is actually an extra guy in the hole of the defense. He's the responsibility of Matthew Stafford using his eyes. Now, they're going to start this play with Higbee at the bottom of the screen. That's an alert out route key. You know that, where, hey, if you love the leverage or you love the matchup, you're going to take it. But I want to go bring it to Cooper Kupp. He's at the number three spot, and there's that man coverage. Now, the Houston Texans are going to actually in and out this coverage, meaning this defender has anybody that goes out, and this defender has anybody that comes in. And Cooper Kupp is smart, Key, and he's going to take advantage of that. What he's going to do is push up vertical right away. Okay, he's going to push up while Robert Woods, the slot receiver, is going to start to come in. Now, when he does that, this outside defender is going to pass him off, because double ins kill in and out, double outs kill. His job is to pass off out anything inside, and Cooper Kupp knows that. So right now, as Cooper Kupp goes, you're going to see Cooper Kupp on the deep cross and Robert Woods on the shallow. Now, Matthew Stafford is going to move that defender right there. You are going to have an uncovered receiver because it attacks the concept
of the coverage. Now, Keith, what's the number one job for that receiver who's running this deep cross? What's his real number one goal when he's doing that?
Just keep coming. Don't look at the quarterback. The moment you look at the QB, it tells him you're ready for the football. But get into the throwing window, and it'll be a safe throw for Stafford, and you'll pick up a chunk.
So that's them gutting man coverage with Cooper Kupp on the inside. Now, again, I told you when he's on the outside, which he is right here at the bottom of the screen, they anticipate zone coverage. Now, this is why I think he's become one of the best receivers in football. Key, he's got what's known as a speed out right here. And I want everyone to see how he runs this route, because what he's going to do as he gets to the top. Now, watch this right now, Key. Now, as his speed out naturally is taught to be at the top of the numbers and just round it off like that. Well, that's not Cooper Kupp. Exactly. He's going to go like this. Left, right, and still round it out. Now, watch. Left, right, and then round it out. I'll bring it back so everyone sees it full speed. Now, Keith, what I want you to tell everybody is, why would he route run like this on what's known as a speed route?
Because the defensive back, as I talked about with Jamar Chase, at the top of your route,
yeah,
he knows that that is probably what you're going to break. So if I give you a little bit of the Cooper Kupp cheese, he's going to bite on it. He just bit like a big rat being nosy. Now he breaks it out. The trust factor is there for Stafford and for Cooper Kupp. Stafford's not worried about all the stuff at the top of the route. All he needs him to be is where he's supposed to be. Cooper and him are on the same page. This is impressive because they've only been together for several months.
It's beautiful.
This takes time, Dan.
Look at that spot right there. So, Matthew Stafford thinking a quarterback, I'm going to throw it right where I'm supposed to, 2 yards from the sideline.
Absolutely.
And you got to trust the receiver that you do what you got to do to go win.
Absolutely.
And
he knows that.
Question. Do you think he's become in the conversation for one of the best receivers in football?
Absolutely. No question about it. And you know I don't give everybody love.
You can't play man. You can't play zone.
I thought that handshake was going to go bad. I was praying for it.
We got it.
It didn't, though.
Brothers.
Golly. Coming up on NFL Live,
we discuss
why the connection between Sean Payton and Trevor Siemian is strong enough for the Saints and their offensive success this season. You just heard the news that Taysom Hill back at practice. We'll talk Saints next on NFL Live. Right here, don't say hello.
Mind job, one punch KO. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Bye weeks and fantasy duds poking holes in your lineup? It's time to start making moves. Trade Assistant with IBM Watson uses AI to analyze player stats, expert opinions, and all the rosters in your league. It finds trades that can fill the gaps in your roster and get your team climbing back up those standings. Trade early and often. Use Trade Assistant with IBM Watson. Go to ESPN.com/FFL or download the ESPN Fantasy app now to get started.
Back here on NFL Live, and this Sunday, the Vikings look to get back on track against the Ravens. They're coming off their bye week, and Lamar Jackson hopefully got some much-needed rest during the bye. He's been carrying the load for this Ravens offense. You see that there this season. Jackson has accounted for 46% of the Baltimore rush yards, by far the highest rate of any quarterback in the league. In fact, that 46% ranks 18th among all players, so not just quarterbacks. Marcus, what do you want to see from this Ravens offense Sunday against the Vikings?
Yeah, El Boogie, I want to see them share the wealth in that run game, as you just pointed out, how much Lamar is carrying the ball. And obviously, he carries the ball because he's dynamic with it in his hands. But I want to see Devontae Freeman get more vested. Hopefully, Latavius Murray is able to go. Tyson Williams, these guys sharing the load. I pointed out a few weeks ago when three running backs had touchdowns, and I think majority of them went over like 40 or 50 yards rushing in totality. And by committee is how you want to do this thing. I believe that this is how the Ravens can still operate and open up things downfield for Lamar. Don't want him to be asked to be a running back. Want him to be a quarterback and let those other guys carry the load.
Yeah, and to your point, Lamar's been throwing the ball out of the pocket really well. All right, let's continue with some more news. We just heard that Taysom Hill back at practice for the Saints coming off of that concussion. So Jameis Winston out for the season, Dan, after knee surgery. If it's Trevor Siemian at quarterback, what does he bring to the table?
Well, I think you can always tell by what a coaching staff thinks of a player from the play calls and the tape. They came out in the second half last week and they threw a go route on the first play of the second half. Sean Payton trusts that he's able to handle that. He had a plan for zero pressure, something that every quarterback needs to have against the Buccaneers. Fade away from pressure, find the completion. I love the fact that he knew what to do with the football when number one wasn't there, finding the in route to Callaway on the backside. So the reality is Sean Payton and the Saints, since the start of 2019, are 13-3 without Drew Brees. Trevor Simeon will be just fine.
Yeah, how about this from ESPN Saint reporter Mike Triplett? This is a hilarious tweet. If it were being Alvin Kamara, he came close to finally playing quarterback on Sunday after campaigning for years. He was the emergency quarterback after Jameis Winston was hurt. And so when asked if it would have been a Wildcat package, Kamara was like, no, that's disrespectful. Said he was ready to get his Drew Brees on.
Everyone thinks they can play quarterback.
No, but I mean, he can actually Kamara throw it probably. A little bit.
Kamara probably could.
A little bit. All right, anyway, let's get to a quarterback who can definitely throw it. Little tiny bit. Justin Herbert and the Chargers. And listen, it has not been an easy go of it for Herbert lately, as a couple of defenses he's run into in the Ravens and the Patriots have figured some things out. That's what happens when you run into a Bill Belichick coach defense, right, Key? So what does he need to do to get back on track this Sunday?
Just get back to his fundamentals. Go back to the first several games of the year and look at tape. And I think that that's what he'll wind up doing, because one thing that he has missed the last couple games is his big playmaking wide receivers in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. If he gets back to those principles and understanding he has to put the football in their hands, take advantage of this weak secondary in Philadelphia, and we will soon see the guy that we knew 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned those couple of really brutal matchups in the Ravens and the Patriots. No offense to the Eagles, but this might be a game that he gets back on track. All right, it's time for Key's favorite segment on NFL Live. That would be the Dan Wagon. Come on, Dan. Turn the spotlight on what – oh, wait, where is Dan? We're riding on the horse to find out.
Kind of looks
Dan's
like
Dan. Dan's got his own horse. That's scary.
Does it look like me?
We got kind of.
Who's on the wagon, Dan? Oh, wait, tell us
that's
the
way. It's an East Coast team.
Mac Jones.
Player.
Mac Jones.
I think you're wrong. Oh!
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This season on NFL Countdown.
I felt like it was 20 incredible years that shaped me. I wouldn't change any of it.
I don't think he want to win as much as I do, though, because I hate losing.
I think it would just show that we haven't wasted the greatness that we have in this locker room.
Nobody likes us if you're not a fan of us.
It's one of those moments I'll never forget.
There's a whole lot more out there on the table for us.
We just need to be better down the stretch so we can win those games and get into the playoffs.
I felt at that point the best thing for both of us was to seek a trade.
Punch John in the stomach for me, will you?
Catch the NFL's biggest stars every Sunday morning and Monday night on NFL Countdown on ESPN.
We got the Dan Wagon coming up. Dan, giddy up. Come on, yeehaw.
Broncos on the wagon. We are going to put two gloves.
Touchdown, Broncos.
Teddy Bridgewater on the Dan Wagon. I am going to put on Kirk
Cousins throws.
Touchdown!
Ezekiel Elliott, is on the Dan Wagon.
Rondell Moore, wide open touchdown.
You are now part of the Dan Wagon family. Welcome.
Like Laura said, yeehaw!
Yeehaw! All right, we're ready for another edition of the Dan Wagon. This week, I brought in some help for you. Take a listen.
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
He's
shout out to the legend.
Chris
shout
Irvin.
Out to the OG.
All right, so we got a little hint about who might be on the wagon.
Man, okay. It should not come to surprise that
We are now adding Josh Allen.
How many times
to the Dan
be on
Wagon? What you mean, how many? What you mean, what I mean? Josh Allen, welcome to the Dan Wagon. Right now, Josh Allen on third downs, right? Quarterbacks get measured by third down. He's got a 93 QBR. That's second in the NFL behind the MVP leader, Matthew Stafford. He's got 20 touchdowns this season, accounted for 17 throwing, 3 rushing. That's third in the NFL, big time balling. He's not taking sacks, something that he's gotten so much better on. How about this? He's got 6 games in a row where he has thrown for multiple touchdowns. If he does it this week, which now you have to since you're on the Dan Wagon, you join Jim Kelly, also a Buffalo Bills legend, for the record for their organization.
Wow. Yeah. Listen, there's no pressure like being on the Dan Wagon.
No, you got to play well right now, okay?
Stay on the wagon.
You got to play well
Come
right
on,
now.
Come on, Josh Allen.
Don't Kirk Cousins us.
Oh, goodness. All right. Let's get to the Rams Titans with the newest Ram, Von Miller. He was shocked when he found out he was being traded, but also finds out he's going to a big-time contender. Sometimes you go to sleep as one person, you wake up totally different. Here's what Miller said about that.
Yeah, it's starting to feel good. It's starting to feel real good. You look at all the talent that we have. You know, I went to sleep 4-4 and woke up 7-1. You know, it's not, you know, it's not, you know, on the back end of things, you know, it's not really that bad.
Man, it's kind of cool to see him in the Rams uniform. Marcus, what do you expect when it comes to Miller and this addition to the D-line for the Rams? How do they use him?
Just freedom in how you can deploy your defensive line. I mean, we've talked about how Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd on the same side causes defense problems. Now, imagine Von Miller lined up opposite of that and having the one-on-one against your tackle for majority of the game. Or Aaron Donald and Von Miller on the same side. Think about the fear that that's going to strike, how you dictate protection from the offense based on how you align these guys. Listen, this is not anything small. The one job for a lot of defensive football teams, especially when you talk about D-line play, is to get their good guys matched up one-on-ones instead of allowing double teams, allowing protection to slide that way, keeping the back end. You got to. Now, I mean, obviously, we know how Aaron Donald affects everybody around him. Von Miller is he don't need Aaron Donald to be Von Miller. But this is going to be crazy if they can figure out, like I say all the time, how to play together like a basketball team and be a nightmare for whoever they pass rushing.
I think when you look at this game, you know, Swaggoo's talking about the pass rush and the pressure with Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Floyd. That's going to be a lot for Tannehill at the quarterback spot for Tennessee, because not having Derrick Henry in the lineup, that took a lot of weight from him. Now, all of a sudden, you got to depend on the passing game. Now you got one guy out there in A.J. Brown up against Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey, take that. Get that out the way. Now what else you got? You got possibly a hampered Julio Jones. You know how that can be. And then so you got a lot of issues going. And all you do if you're the Rams, take a look at the Arizona film. Just watch the Arizona Cardinal film, which I'm sure they're going to do. When he has to drop back and throw the football, it's a lot of pressure on him.
Dan, let's talk about this Titans defense for a minute here, because you showed us earlier how good the Rams are out of empty set. How should the Titans try and defend that?
Good luck. this is going to be strength on weakness. You know, the strength of the Los Angeles Rams offense, as we kind of showed with the touchscreen, is when they get into their empty set. They're the best team in the NFL doing it. And the Tennessee Titans are not good defending it. One of the bottom five teams in the NFL when it comes to defending empty. And so you have to understand Tennessee defensively. Sean McVay is smart. He's going to get an empty to attack you with it because it's his strength and it's your weakness. I think the only chance that Tennessee has to win this game is because when the Rams do get into that empty set, their defensive line has got to dominate. Simmons got to dominate. Landry got to dominate. Autry, they got to dominate, because you're going to see it. And if you guys don't have, I would say this, Tennessee's defensive line got to have the best game of the year, because if they don't, that secondary cannot hold up to the pass game that Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Higbee, all them bring about, Van Jefferson. So I think it's a huge challenge for the Tennessee defensive line.
We showed you earlier just how good Stafford has been against any type of defense that you want to throw at him.
Again, zone defense. Yeah, zone man. It's going to be a big challenge for Tennessee.
Right. All right. We got time for one more thing before we go. And I want to show you guys this. Darren Sproles' daughter, Devin Sproles, she's going to take it around on the outside here as we're about to roll the video here. Watch her. Take it around on the outside. She's gone. Let's go, Devin.
Go.
Man.
Wow.
She looks like her dad.
What a beast.
Aaron all gone.
I love it.
I played with Darren Sproles in the Senior Bowl. And I remember being in practice with him in the first day and thinking to myself, there's no way that this guy is going to play in the NFL. First carry he got, he set the safety on a draw in the open field. It was a safety fell over. I was like, well, maybe.
Shows how much Dan knows.
What was you looking at, his size?
Yeah.
Was bad scout.
Dan, yeah. Why did you out yourself like
how
that?
How was his daughter running around people like that?
She, I don't know. We'll find out. But it seemed like she was.
Looked like a bunch of Marcus Spears on defense.
Yes, she did. All right. Anyway, congratulations to Devin. Also, we want to give a shout out to Brandi Tate. It's her first time directing our show. She's been a part of NFL
Good job,
Lives recently since we all came together last summer. And Brandi did an amazing job today. For those who don't know, we have producer and director in our
She's
whole crew
amazing.
And director
who
works on the visual of the show, cutting shots throughout. And we just appreciate you, Brandi. You did an awesome job. And I have to say this for her. Go Titans. She's a huge Titans fan. She loves
it.
They always win.
No, they
we'll see you tomorrow.
I had to put 50 on them for that.